Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another broadcast here at Omega Ministries live stream. Wednesday night broadcast, the Bible study broadcast. Hopefully everybody's having a good week thus far and everything's going according to plan, whatever the plan is. But as usual, we endeavor to bring the Word of God to you in an understandable fashion for you to grow in grace and in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We don't have a lot of time left on this planet, seeing that things are beginning to speed up as far as the end time scenarios, so we must be faithful and be about the Father's business on a daily basis. So we're here to keep teaching the Word of God no matter what, keep proclaiming it, stay faithful, stay committed, stay focused on the things at hand, and we want to see God move in our generation to bring as many as possible to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you well know, these are times that would cause most people to faint because of how austere the conditions are. And there's so many weapons that have been forced against people to make them give up. But don't give up. You've got to keep fighting. Fighting with everything in you to make it through. You have to stay focused, you have to keep fighting, and you have to stay determined to win. In conditions like these, a lot of people are going to faint. The Bible says men's hearts will be fainting, they'll be giving up, even suffering heart attacks because they're looking after all the things that are coming upon the earth. Also, the Bible says in these times, the love of many shall wax cold. That's referring to the church people. Under severe persecution, a lot of people become unloving and they begin to think in terms of how do I save myself from the impending disasters that are taking place. So it's not easy to persevere. It's not easy to hang in here, but you got to stay focused on things in heaven and not on the things on earth. If you focus on the things on earth, you'll give up. So you must discipline your mind to focus on things that are in heaven and not on planet Earth as these end time tumultuous times begin to unfold. Right, tonight we're going to be talking about the God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. God calls himself the God of all flesh. So we're going to take a look at God and what he is, who he is, what he can do. As he describes himself as a God that rules over all flesh. He rules over human flesh, animal flesh, all types of flesh, the bird flesh, the fish flesh, every beast of the field and their flesh. The God of all flesh. He rules and he super rules heaven and earth as the ruling pontitate over all creation. And we got to begin to operate and know that. Operate in the truth of that and stay committed to God as a God that rules over all flesh. Before we get going, by way of announcements, remember the prayer line immediately following this broadcast will be available. The prayer line is operative every Monday through Saturday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Monday through Saturday night. 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number recently changed for calling into the prayer line, and that number is 1-641-715-3670. 1-641-715-3670. And the access code remains the same, which is 409-367. Again, that's 1-641-715-3670. And the access code is 409-367. Also, be admonished and remember to register for the Soldiers of Light Conference, May 27th through the 29th here in Atlanta, Georgia. Registration right now ongoing at www.omegaministries.org, www.omegaministries.org. Click on News and then Conferences and Events. news and conferences and events to register for the Soldiers of Light Conference. It's time to come out of the shadows, come out of the darkness, and go on the offensive against the devil. We've been backing up. We've been taking incoming ordnance long enough. It's time for somebody to make a stand. It's time for somebody to believe this thing and come out of the world all the way to be filled with the Holy Ghost and represent God. Soldiers of light is what God needs. The Bible says we are children of light. We no longer walk in the darkness. We are manifesting light down here in the midst of darkness. Soldiers of light. We've got to bring light. And you, as you know, light is synonymous with truth. If you become a vessel of truth, you'll become a vessel of light. Be here. Soldiers of Light Conference. Memorial Day weekend, May 27th through the 29th, next year, 2016. Atlanta, Georgia. Registration open now. Hotel reservations can be made now. If you go to our website, www.omegaministries.org, the link there will take you through the entire process of registration and hotel reservations. After that, it's up to you to get here by way of bus, train, plane, or the number nines that's at the end of your ankle. You got to get here. Soldiers of light, it's time for the body of Christ to come together on one accord, fight a war, and win it. OmegaMentors.org. Click on news, conferences, and events. Last thing, Dunamis Tabernacle. You know, it's amazing that every Sunday we get about 1,000 viewers on live stream. Here tonight, this Bible study will be seen by 350 to 400 people. We are seeking to establish a base camp for the saints globally. A global base camp wherever you are around the globe. If you need resources, if you need books, if you need Bibles, if you need CDs, if you need MP3 messages, if you need any links, any newsletters, any resources, we can get to you. Books by Derek Prince, Frank Hammond, and other good authors, Charles Newbold, and other people that have written good, comprehensive books to help you when you minister to others. We need to have a logistical base camp that no matter what country you're in, no matter what location you're located in, that we have resources stocked and ready to get into your hands to help save souls. A base camp for warriors is what we're after. We've come to a place where we have to move to another phase in God. With 1,000 people listening to this message every Sunday and 300 to 400 every Wednesday, we have more than enough people to do what we have to do. We've located a building that only costs $800,000, and we've been talking about it for a year and a half. $800,000 is so pitiful that it's almost embarrassing to even bring it up. But yet, folks are just so bound and so trapped, and their minds are so, I don't know what you call it. It's almost like talking into a haze or a maze or what we call the matrix. I mean, are you that afraid to prosecute a war against Satan? With all the stuff that Satan has done to you, why would you be afraid to attack him? Our mission is a mission called Mission 288. 2,778 people contributing $288 one time established the base cap, which costs $800,000. That is so simple. And it sounds so pitiful when you say it out loud. And you watch hundreds of millions and billions of dollars flowing into delusions, lies, hypocrisies, fantasies, make-believe preaching. Hundreds of millions of dollars on a yearly basis just going into things that have no benefit to anybody. Seems like God should have a remnant of saints that he could extricate from the world and the matrix to just make an end time stand. So we always make our presentation as far as Dunamis Tabernacle to those end time remnant saints. Not those of you who are spectators, not those of you who are non-participators, not those of you who just sit there watching everything in life. You know, you find with people that being a spectator is not a one-time deal. They've usually been spectators in every facet of life. You know, they didn't play football, they watched the football game. They didn't become cheerleaders, they watched the cheerleaders cheer. They didn't graduate from college, they watched their uncle graduate from college. You know, a spectator is a program that you can have running in you that you're never a participator. A non-participatory Christian does not exist in the body of Christ because every member of the body of Christ participates in the functionalities of the body. So what we're saying is we should be able to marshal a force, a fighting force, to stand up in these end times against a clear and present danger. It's not like you have to even make people see this. The devil's not even hiding his hand anymore. The devil's in your face telling you I'm the devil, and I dare you to say anything to me about it. It's just like Goliath facing the armies of Israel as all the military might was couched behind Saul, afraid to confront Goliath. And now we have a church world that has been so conditioned by entertainment, conditioned by folly and personality worship and all the things that make up the church world, that when you call them up to make a stand for themselves against the enemy, everybody becomes a wet noodle. They get afraid. You sit up under religion long enough, it will totally, totally incapacitate you. It will take all of the fight out of you. It'll make you dependent upon others. You'll look for identity in your surroundings. God is looking for a few good men and women who will come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing. He'll then receive you unto himself and be a God unto you, and you'll be his people. Leadership is necessary. An organized organism is necessary. Don't think that this fight can be won helter-skelter with unorganized, discombobulated chaos as the structure. Everybody that's a living organism, whether it be the body of an animal, a body of a human, a body of anything that is organic, has to have structure, order, and it has to have some system of delivery of nutrients and that which is ingested to sustain the body. So you got to have a flow, an inflow of information and an outflow to the members of any organic structure to sustain that body and keep it alive. See, everything we're talking about as far as Dunamis Tabernacle is concerned is about organic structure, an organism that is alive, designed to fight another organism, Satan, who is alive. His fallen angels are living organisms. His demons are living organisms. God is a living organism. The church is a living organism. The body of Christ is a living organism. An organism has to have command and control. Your brain and linked to your mind is the command and control center for your body. The mind of Christ is the command and control center for the body of Christ. He has to have organized structure to flow through. God does not flow through chaos. The Bible plainly tells us that God is not the author of confusion. Folks, wake up. Wake up. Wake up out of this deep sleep so we can prosecute a war. It makes no sense for 1,000 people to sit and watch messages every week on Sunday and another 400 of you on Wednesday, and you just sit there. You sit there totally petrified, unable to do anything. $800,000 is so weak. And get your mind out of that realm where you worship money. When you think $10 million, $50 million, $100 million, $1 billion is a lot of money. You've got men walking around down there worth $100 billion. You've got individuals worth $100 billion. And here we are trying to save the entire world, and we're afraid of $800,000. Can you see how silly this is? Michael Jordan worth $1 billion for playing basketball, and some of you even have on some of his tennis shoes, and you can't even get the gospel around the world, but yet you have on a pair of Michael Jordan tennis shoes. Is something wrong with the body of Christ? Is something wrong with our efforts? Is something wrong with our focus? Is something wrong with our desires? Is something wrong with every format and structure that is on display in the church? There is something wrong here. I don't care about what other folks have done. I don't care who's taking money from folks. I don't care who's been a hypocrite. The messages we preach define what we stand for. We're not seeking after longevity. We're seeking after getting a job done. This is a ferocious battle, and it's designed for warriors. Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. Get the thing off the ground, a base camp for a global army. Support it at www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate or mail support to Post Office Box 960-146, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. We should get this thing up and running in a couple of months. $800,000? That's almost laughable in a multi-billion dollar religious world. I mean, if you asked you could go to a Roman Catholic church and ask for $800,000 and they take it up in one offering. That's how pitiful this is. That's how pitiful it is. If Joel Osteen were to ask for $800,000, he'd take it up in one offering. All this stuff that's billowing and is so prominent and put out there in the forefront, and yet the truth languishes because the people are afraid of it. They're afraid of it. They take a step back from the truth. And yet you sit here now claiming to love the truth, and the truth and Jesus Christ are synonymous. You claim to love it, but yet won't sacrifice for it and to it. You're a hypocrite. You're lying to yourself. Stop lying to yourself and calling them reasons and excuses. You're just lying to yourself. Wake up out of that coma. We're not here to save a world. We're here to end one. The world cannot be saved. We can only end it because we saved all of God's people out of it. You load the ark, Noah sails away, and God sends a flood. You get Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God burns the cities to the ground. Once God has extricated his people out of the world, there will be no more time. There will be no more earth as we know it. There'll be no more world systems. The devil's greatest fear is a gospel that ends the world, not a gospel that tries to sustain the world. You shall know the truth. The truth shall extricate you. It will make you free. That's the gospel we're preaching. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. The end of the reign of terror led by Satan and the end of his filthy world. And yet you sit there and you try to sustain it with a brand new pair of Michael Jordan tennis shoes on, a brand new handbag that costs you $500. All this junk to gratify self, because you still want to live here. Stop lying to yourself. You still love the world. You still want to live here. You're trying to sustain it. You want to see it going forever when it's not going to. If you don't see the world end, One thing is going to happen. The world is going to see you in because you're going to die. Either you'll live long enough to see the world in, or you'll leave the world and the world will see you in because you're going to leave here. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It's time to put your eggs in another basket. Sow into something that's designed to save souls out of the world. Not all of this prosperity trash and all these positive affirmations and positive confessions and all this junk about having your best life now. There's a blessing in your mouth and all these other fantasies designed to give hope in this life. The Bible says if you have hope only in this life, you are of all men most miserable. Dunamis Tabernacle is a vision to extricate the body of Christ out of a damned world by forecasting the gospel into the environment for people to cleave to it and be saved and to be extracted from a world that is doomed. It's doomed. Hang on to it at your peril. www.omegaministry.org. Click on support, then donate or mail it to Post Office Box 960-146, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. All right, let's get into the message for tonight. The God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. Immediately following the Bible study at 9 o'clock, remember the prayer line. I'll give that number again at the end of this message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. Right now, God, we commit this time to you. Ask you to bless this time. God, focus our minds on the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. The Bible says we are not those that draw back, but we are those that believe unto the saving of the soul. This is the salvation of the soul. Everybody doesn't understand what's being saved. The soul is being redeemed. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. It's your soul that's your problem. Your spirit is totally cut off from God and dead, but your soul is rebelling against him. When your spirit is in subjection to your soul, then your soul rises up and now it is permeating your body and gratifying the flesh. Because you have a soulish appetite that's living at the expense of God's will. God, in the name of Jesus, break this stronghold off of people trying to satisfy themselves, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Give grace to set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The God of all flesh. We're talking about the God of all flesh. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of everybody's flesh. I don't know about the false religions. I don't know what they believe. I don't know about their gods. But I know this. When you come to Jesus Christ and you're born again, you're serving the God that rules over all flesh. He rules over all flesh. Let's take a look at it. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 16. Jeremiah 32, 16. Jeremiah is praying. He says this. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Do you really believe that? That there's nothing too hard for God? You show loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquities of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Do you hear that? That God repays the evil and iniquity of the fathers unto the children after the fathers? You're cursing your own children with your sin? The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know the old saying, you reap what you sow. That's what he's saying. God doesn't have to bother you. All by yourself, your sins find you out. You get back what you put out. Excuse me. You reap what you sowed. If you've got a cursed life, you've been cursing folks. You've been detrimental to somebody. You're getting back what you put out. So you got to change this principle by putting out good and sowing into a kingdom of righteousness so that you get back good again. Sow into the lives of other people. It doesn't have to be financial. Help people. Pray for people. Love people. Encourage people. Motivate people. That's the very essence of what I'm doing now. I know I'm giving out to people, and I'm seeking God to get back from God a blessing. If you become a conduit for God, that he can use you to speak through to help somebody, you're solidifying your relationship with God because he says he'll repay you. He'll give you a just recompense because you made yourself available for him to use you. He says he gives you the fruit of your doings. Verse 20, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice. You got saved and came into Jesus Christ, but now you won't obey God. You possessed the land, but now you won't obey him. Neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, look at the cause and effect. Because they wouldn't obey you, therefore you have caused all this evil to come upon them. It's cause and effect. When you don't obey God, it's not enough to give lip service to God and talk about Jesus and know a bunch of praise and worship songs and read your Bible. What good is it to read the Bible if you won't obey the Bible? I saw a lady talking the other day about how women can pastor the church. Then she said Priscilla was the lead teacher with Aquila, and she was a pastor. And then she said Phoebe, the servant of the church, was a pastor. You can't prove that anywhere from the Bible. You see, when people are in rebellion, they do anything to try to prove a point, and they practice what is called scripture twisting. You can take the scripture and twist it to make your reality palatable to those that want to rebel like you. So you twist the Bible to make other people agree with you because you want it to be true. Scripture twisting has been done for a long time to try to make illegal points that are bathed in cult teaching. You can get into a cult-like teaching and heresy because you've twisted the scripture to make your illegal, invalid points. Another practice you see a lot of time is what you call eisegesis of the Bible. Eisegesis of the Bible is reading into the Bible what the Bible did not say. So the Bible nowhere says that Phoebe was a pastor. The Bible nowhere says that Priscilla was a pastor and the lead teacher in the ministry of Aquila and Priscilla. You can't find that in the Bible because it's not there. But eisegesis will read it into the Bible because you're a woman pastor and you're trying to make it legitimate. Then they'll go to Deborah the prophetess without reading the story of Deborah the prophetess, where Deborah the prophetess told you she was not the norm. She was an exception, not the rule. She even said that she was taking the glory that belonged to a man because the man would not do it. So now you take that as a foundational truth to justify rebellion in the church. Folks, if you don't stop making a fool out of yourself and rebelling against God, you're going to end up in hell. Because he exalts his word higher than his name. He's not going to change one dot, one jot, one tittle. What we call a dot over an I or a cross on a T. He's not going to change anything from the Bible. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. You have to bow down to his word because his word won't bow down to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives you the exact attributes of a pastor. He must be the husband of one wife, period. Exclamation point. Declarative statement. The husband must be the pastor must be the husband of one wife. That's what it says. That's what he meant. Stop trying to twist the scripture to make it say something else. Exegesis is reading into the Bible what it says, and you extract from the Bible what it tells you. I don't read anything into it. I have no emotion for it. I have no desires for it. I have no personal program I'm trying to accomplish from it. I'm not trying to make it say anything. I extract from the Bible. You perform an exegesis, an extraction from the Bible, what is telling you and me. And then you conform to it. If you're not careful, you can twist the Bible to your own detriment and end up damning yourself trying to prove an illegitimate point. Stop it. Stop it. Get your feelings out of it. Get that feminine uprising, that radical feminism you walk in, out of your system. Repent from being a feminist. Repent from being somebody trying to promote girl power. Repent from trying to be somebody that competes with a man instead of completing a man. Eve did not compete with Adam when she was formed. She completed Adam when she was formed. So don't compete, complete. Be a part of the thing. Be a part of the organic life of God, the organic body of Christ. Stop trying to compete with men, but be a person, a woman that can complete men because of your behavior and your attitude. This is not World War III between women and men. Stop contending for things that are not given by God. Accept your role and walk in it. What's the big deal? The devil has you trying to fight a pseudo war against God that's going to fail. Read the Bible, believe the Bible, and do what the Bible instructs you to do. Because they would not obey his commandments and his laws, cause the effect, therefore, you have caused all this evil to come upon you. Behold, the mouth, they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans are the Babylonian warriors that were coming to take the city, that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what you have spoken is come to pass, and behold, you see it. And you have said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, the word of the Lord, after he's praying, God stands up and he's saying, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, when he says the word of the Lord came, the Bible is really saying the word of Jehovah came. And you know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So whenever the Bible says the word of the Lord is operating, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ, the spokesperson for the Godhead, telling Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. By him all things were created, and without him was nothing made that is made. Jesus Christ is the architect and the one that made everything through the spoken word. You need to deal with Jesus Christ directly because he's the God of all flesh. Then he says, is there anything too hard for me? I got everything under control. Nothing is out of kilter. Nothing is wacky. Everything in God's economy is right on schedule. God will set you up and God will put you down. God will bring you to life, and God will kill you. He is the God of all flesh. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Now, you know, the Israelites didn't want to believe that, and Jeremiah was prophesying all along the trail, the Babylonians are coming, they are going to take this city. And God told Jeremiah that Nebuchadnezzar was coming with his Babylonian forces, and they are going to take Jerusalem because of the rebellion of the Israelites. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have poured incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. You see, God is responding to idolatry. This is a provocation. The church world is provoking God because other gods have come into the church and people are worshiping these foreign gods, and God is scheduling an attack on the church, a provocation against church people because they will not obey him. I'm telling you, get back to the written word of God, the scripture. It's the scripture. The spoken word of God, God walking around down here or down in heaven, if he walks through heaven, that's not the scripture. That's the living word of God, Jesus Christ. But the scripture is the revealed will of God for us. Get back to the scripture. Don't theorize. Don't conceptualize. Don't offer up conjecture. Get back to the written word of God. The scriptures empower us to fight a successful warfare. By them, the Bible says, we fight wars. By the scriptures. When Jesus was confronted by Satan, he didn't go into some long, drawn-out diatribe bathed in theories and conjecture. Jesus simply said, it is written. It is written. Don't let anybody get you out of the scripture. Let me wet my whistle here. A little ginseng. Try it. A little ginseng up. Good drink. I usually drink ginger beer, but this ginseng is pretty good. Ginseng up. Try it. Kind of rough. I mean, kind of burn you a little bit, but hey. All right, now. So you see now, it's the scripture. We have to stay totally bathed in the word of God. Don't just read it, obey it. So you see now the Chaldeans are coming in. Nebuchadnezzar's coming at them. And the Chaldeans are going to fight them because they've been offering up sacrifices to Baal and offering up to strange gods in verse 29. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city has been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets. Listen. The princes, the priests, and the prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So you see, the church world right now is provoking God. The church world is making God angry. Homosexuals in the pulpit. Lesbians in the pulpit. Now you got homosexual men in Atlanta who have come into church, pastoring a church, married to a man, calling the man his first man, instead of his first lady. His first man, and they've adopted a child together. Now they're sitting up in church with the first man of the church holding a little baby while the preacher is up there, a homosexual, preaching to the folks. And the first man is holding that little baby girl sitting over in the corner, and nobody says a word. This is crazy. You've got lesbians now stomping around the pulpit with a first lady, and it's their lesbian lover, and nobody says a word. all this filth, all this gutter rot in the church, and this is what's provoking God. And I'm here to warn you before he flexes on you and destroys everything in sight. You don't want God to come howling out of heaven angry, because God burns up worlds. Forget burning up your house. Forget burning up your city. Forget burning up your state. Forget burning up your country. God burns up worlds. Worlds. He can destroy worlds. What do you think? A nuclear weapon matters to God? You can have 50 million atomic bombs and you'd have like a toothpick to God. Think about what I'm saying. Man has created atomic weapons, nuclear weapons. You think that threatens God? A little sugar ant, pea-brained man making an atomic bomb? You're a clown. He's the God of all flesh. God destroys worlds. God can destroy galaxies. God can destroy everything he made because he made it. If he made it, he can get rid of it. The Bible says Jesus Christ is going to take this whole world system and fold it up like a blanket and put it away. He's going to destroy it, seeing that all these things, the Bible says, shall be dissolved. He's going to dissolve all of this stuff and get rid of it and bring a new earth and a new heaven into existence to replace and displace this one. Don't fool around with God. You better seek for God while he can be found, and you better obey everything in this Bible while you have time. Look at this. And they have turned unto me the back. So what happens? Obstinate, arrogant, proud people have given God the hand. Talk to the hand. Not talk to the hand, God. Forget you. And you turned your back on me and spit in my face, he's saying. You gave unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. You know how much teaching folks are doing? And folks won't even listen to them? You can sit right here every Wednesday night and every Sunday listening to the live stream, and you don't do anything you're told. You just listen, and it has no benefit to you whatsoever because you're not going to take heed and do anything. He says, I talked to you all day long, giving you instruction, and you won't do anything about it. The Bible says, it's not the hearer, it's the doer that is blessed in their deed. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Set their abominations in the house, in the church, which is called by his name, the church. The church, the word church is actually the word ecclesia. And people tell you it means the called out ones, which is one meaning, but it's more a called out assembly. That's the real meaning of ecclesia. A called out assembly, those that have come out from one thing to assemble in another. So the church is like an assembly of called out ones. So when you have a church house, which is a physical location for the called out ones to meet, then there should be no abominations in the midst of the called out ones, because we've come together to worship the true and living God. So when you bring the abomination of desolation into that environment, God will respond violently. You bring it into my house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Remember, Jesus beat up a bunch of folks in the New Testament. While Jesus Christ was on earth, Jesus made whips and beat folks because they had made the house of God, which was the house of prayer, into a den of thieves and robbers. So that's telling you now there's a physical location. There's physicality associated with the church. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. But you made it into a den of thieves and robbers, and he beat them with whips. So all of you Babylonian church folk who, I'm not going to the Babylonian brick and mortar building, you are deceived. There is a fellowship. There is a gathering. There is a general assembly. There is a congregation, which is an assembly or gathering of the church. where order is there, where the elders and the pastors and the apostles and the prophets and the apostles and the teachers are present, and there is order in the assembly. Don't let boobs that don't understand the Bible thwart you from receiving everything God has. God wants you to be an individual that's able to walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. He wants you to be taught by the Spirit, but he also wants you to acknowledge the General Assembly of the church and the elders that are ordained in every city according to Titus. Titus was instructed by Paul to ordain elders in every city. We've got to get back to organizational structure led by the Holy Ghost and not be afraid of it. I know all the extremes. I know all the boobs. I know all the kooks, the wackos, the weirdos. I know all the different organizations that are crazy. I know about Roman Catholicism. I know about every denomination. I know about all the divide and conquer mechanisms. But that has nothing to do with God's word and what he says. Forget the wrong, forget the evil, forget the kooks, and let's do the thing right, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in our generation. He says, they defiled the house. Verse 35, they built high places of Baal. Baal is always a type of satanic worship. They built high places to worship to Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. Child sacrifice. Molech was a heathen pagan god that had his hands out in front of him. The Israelites and other pagan worshipers would build a bonfire, a billowing fire under the hands, the stone hands, until the stone hands would glow red hot. They glow, just be glowing from the heat that was generated by the fire. And then the people, when sacrificing up their sons and daughters to Molech, would place their children on the hands of that pagan deity, and the child would basically disintegrate from the heat on that stone, those stone hands that had been made to glow red from the heat from the fire underneath them. And the baby would just disintegrate as you place the little baby on that altar to Molech. Just like in the abortion clinics, where they're burning kids to death with saline solution, where they're taking vacuum extraction hoses and sucking the baby out piece by piece, ripping the head off, ripping the arms off, ripping the legs off, ripping the torso in half, and dumping it in a plastic bag and carting it off to the incinerator. That's what we've got. We've got all these people sacrificing to Molech and calling abortion. You better stop listening to these fools telling you this is just a mass of sales. This is a human being with a human soul that's got a human spirit. The first time sperm meets egg and God places a spirit in that little embryo, you've got a human being. And the blood of all these babies are crying out from the ground to God, seeking vengeance. 54 million babies dead since 1973, and you don't think that God is provoked? You better think again. Everybody want to run around and talk about all this secondary trash. Talking about terrorists. We are the terrorists. The terrorists haven't killed 54 million people. Wake up. Wake up out of your stupor. Wake up out of your deep sleep and realize we're provoking the living God, the God of all flesh, that can destroy all flesh if you get him mad.